5 years ago, 20 first graders and six adults were killed at the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut. Following that shooting, New York and Connecticut enacted some of the toughest gun laws in the nation. Today we're looking at how effective they are. Fred Mogul has the first part about New York's SAFE Act.
2013 was barely a week old when Governor Andrew Cuomo gave his annual State of the State address. He said new gun restrictions were a top priority. To no one's surprise, he started by establishing his own Second Amendment credentials.
I own a gun. I own a Remington shotgun. I've hunted. I've shot. That's not what
but,
this is
he
about.
Quickly added, this discussion isn't about me.
It is about ending the unnecessary risk of high-capacity assault rifles.
Lawmakers quickly proposed a massive package of bills that would do a lot of different things. Require background checks on all gun sales, including private ones, limit the number of bullets that people can carry in gun magazines, deny access to firearms to some mentally ill people, and ban a broader range of semi-automatic guns. Many state legislators were up in arms.
That's what's dangerous about this bill.
Upstate Assemblyman James Todisco.
People are going to go in their homes and get your press releases and all your flyers and say, I'm a lot safer today.
But statistics show only a fraction of deaths are related to assault weapons.
They banned those guns that could have killed 5 out of 769 homicides and murders.
Still, despite all the opposition, both the Assembly and Senate approved the SAFE Act by wide margins. Cuomo declared triumph.
I'm proud to be a New Yorker because New York is doing something, because we are fighting back.
But is New York safer due to the SAFE Act? It's hard to say. Crimes with firearms declined by almost 20% statewide in the last 3 years, and overall gun deaths, which includes both homicide and suicide, has also dropped dramatically.
There was something that changed in New York State that helped these rates go down, and we believe it was the SAFE Act.
Gary Putup was a command officer in the Monroe County Sheriff's Department and is now a spokesman for New Yorkers Against Gun Violence. Putup thinks much of the credit for the drop in crime goes to mandating wider background checks, even if cause and effect is difficult to prove.
You know, we'll never know how many people have been discouraged because they need to have a background check. But that's like we don't know how many people are not speeding or not driving drunk simply because there's a law. We know that laws work.
Gun rights advocates aren't persuaded. They say those crimes were going down anyway. One vocal opponent, Vincent Bono, says he feels less safe under the SAFE Act because he can only put 6 bullets at a time in the handgun he carries for protection. And if a bad guy were to confront him...
You know, that criminal may have a 15-round clip. And if the gun's pointed at me and I only have 6 rounds, I'm at a disadvantage.
Bono is a county commissioner in Herkimer County, north of Cooperstown. Shortly after the SAFE Act passed, he proposed a resolution calling on the state to repeal the law. The symbolic gesture quickly caught on.
Then there was a domino effect.
More than 50 of the 62 county legislatures in the state passed their own resolutions against the SAFE Act.
I think it speaks volumes.
It might, but not loudly enough to get Albany to repeal the SAFE Act. Still, opposing lawmakers have been able to cripple one major provision in Cuomo's original package, a law that would require anyone who buys ammunition to pass a background check. They're not funding the underlying database. And with the state facing giant deficits, they may not ever. For WSHU News, I'm Fred Mogul in New York.
It took a few more months for the Connecticut legislature to approve its response to Sandy Hook, but by many accounts, its gun control measures were even stronger. Lori Mack has that story.
In 2013, Connecticut lawmakers made sweeping changes to the state's gun laws. For starters, they broadened the scope of what the state classifies as assault weapons, banning more than 150 gun models. Mike Higgins, co-owner of the gun shop TGS Outdoors in Brantford, demonstrates features on a weapon banned for civilian sale. He can legally sell this gun to the military and law enforcement.
Some of these are a collapsible folding stock, right? Pistol grip, detachable box magazine. If this had a flash hider, that's another one of the features.
The legislation also bans the sale of gun magazines with a capacity of more than 10 rounds. A permit is now required to buy any type of gun or ammunition. The state also has a registry of deadly weapon offenders and a universal background check system. Has it made a difference? Ron Pinciero, executive director of Connecticut Against Gun Violence, thinks so.
If you look at the homicide rate, I think it worked out to that there were 92 gun homicides per year in Connecticut on average. Last year, 2016, there were 53.
That's the lowest homicide rate ever, according to state data, and Connecticut has one of the lowest gun death rates in the nation. But the tightened laws don't seem to have hurt gun sales all that much. According to state police reports, roughly 135,000 guns were sold in 2016, up from 127,000 in 2012, and nearly 30,000 gun permits were issued in 2016. But thanks to strict permit laws, Mike Lawler, Connecticut's Undersecretary for Criminal Justice Policy and Planning, says the state knows who those permit holders are.
It's about 250,000 people in our state of 3.7 million inhabitants, and so it's a relatively small minority who are law-abiding citizens who have guns. And the right to own guns is protected by our state constitution, and as long as people act responsibly, they'll be able to enjoy that right for as long as they choose to.
But not all states have background checks as comprehensive as Connecticut's. Gun store owner Mike Higgins supports a federal bill that could help address that, the so-called Fix Nicks Act, the bipartisan legislation aimed at strengthening the national instant criminal background check system.
To make sure that there is proper reporting through all law enforcement and mental health channels to make sure that the NICS system is as effective as it possibly can be. And I think that would do a great deal in making truly an effective change.
Gun owner Peggy Crisio of East Haven agrees. She was issued a gun permit within the last year, owns a pistol and a rifle, and uses them for sport and protection. And she has no problem with Connecticut's stringent gun laws, including the ban on certain gun models.
Because I'm not interested in using those type of guns. I'm interested in protecting myself. I'm interested in protecting my family. I am for stricter background checks. If it takes another month or two or three to get a gun, well, what's the hurry? Really?
But what worries many gun owners is that gun control advocates like Ron Pinciero wanted to go further.
We wanted all assault weapons removed from the state immediately upon passage of the bill.
The problem is that government can't take property without giving compensation. And, he says, the state certainly wasn't going to pay for all the guns they'd have to take. For the New England News Collaborative, I'm Lori Mack.
Our reporting was a collaboration between WSHU and member stations WNPR and WNYC.